Brienne and Jamie's relationship, a textual analysis of their journey. Written by Janie Tangerine. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, a song of ice and fire. Rating, mature. Relationships, Jamie Lannister, Brienne of Tarth. Also tagged for meta, nonfiction, essays, character analysis, book 3, A Storm of Swords, book 4, A Feast for Crows, book 5, A Dance with Dragons, in which I am done with a lot of things, so have text analysis on how they're meant to be. And peace. This is part 2 of the Janie Tangerine, Jamie Brienne meta series. This podfic was created for Annalise O10 for ITPE 2019. Summary. In which I metted and spent an unholy amount of words doing some A Storm of Swords, A Feast for Crows text analysis to break down the Jamie-Brienne relationship and bring up all the actual textual reasons why I think they're book canon headed for romance, of how they relate to each other, and how their journeys intersect and parallel each other. Disclaimer. This meta is obviously chock full of A Song of Ice and Fire quotes, but they're there because I need to prove a point. Nothing belongs to me. Everything is George R. R. Martin's, and I owe nothing. Chapter 1. Premise. As we have established in the previous Brienne-centered essay, the relationship between Brienne and Jaime is groundbreaking in itself, both for how it's conceived and for its literary accomplishments. The following part of this collection will consist of a textual analysis of their interactions in the books, from A Storm of Swords to A Dance with Dragons, with the target of describing its progression and its romantic undertones. It's not a coincidence that Jaime starts getting his own chapters from the start of his journey with Brienne in A Storm of Swords, as their meeting and subsequent shared time together is, among other reasons, what starts him off on his own path, slash kickstarts his arc and his own storyline. There's a lot to say about his relationship with Brienne, which is textually parallel to his relationship with Cersei all along, and which is mutually beneficial for both of them. On his side, it shows that someone can actually live according to knightly values and oaths, and so can he. And he's shown that he can actually aspire to be the person he wanted to be once. Simultaneously, their time together is what makes Brienne learn that the world isn't as black and white as she thinks it is, and gets an entire new perspective on her life choices, which, though do not remove her from her chosen path of wanting to be a knight, and that change will be explored in the following book, A Feast for Crows, where she finally gets her own chapters as she starts off on her own journey. This, while until that point, she's only seen through Catelyn's or Jaime's chapters. This connection happens and develops in a context where both of them end up truly and deeply respecting each other, while seeing themselves for who they really are. The author called it a play on the Beauty and the Beast trope rightfully, since we have the roles inverted. Brienne is beautiful inside and ugly outside, and she's called Beauty mockingly because she's perceived as a joke. Jaime is beautiful outside and perceived as ugly inside slash dishonorable. And throughout their relationship, they learn to actually see each other for the actually good persons they both are. There are key events in their relationship during their time spent together in A Storm of Swords, which can be summed up here so they can be analyzed one by one later. Their time with Jaime as Brienne's prisoner. Their fight in the woods where they assess each other's skills. Their capture by the Bloody Mummers. Consequently, their shared time in captivity, during which Jaime loses his right hand, Brienne ends up literally keeping him alive and helping him through it, and he saves her from being raped by their captors. Jaime's confession to Brienne about the real reason why he killed Aerys in the Harrenhal baths. Jaime's prophetic weirwood dream and his subsequent decision to go back for her. Jaime saving her in the bear pit. Jaime giving her Oathkeeper, a Valyrian steel sword made out of Ned's, to find Sansa and keep their oath to Catelyn and save his honor with it. This is as far as their time together is concerned. But even if, in A Feast of Crows, they are separated, there are other instances from which we can deduce that the way they feel towards each other isn't changed, and actually is still pushing them to be the people they want to be. So the last part will be dedicated to discussing how their thoughts and feelings towards each other, while they are apart, are still textual hints that they might be headed for something more, and the effects that their time together has had on both of them.